of America presents the Fred Allen Show. The Fred Allen Show with Fred's guest, Dr. Rockwell. Portland Hoffa, Minerva Pius, Peter Donald, Parker Fenley, the DeMarco sisters, and Al Goodman and his orchestra. And this is Kenny Delmar with an invitation from your Ford dealer. Do you want a stimulating experience someday this week? Then spend a few minutes driving the new Ford. Discover how different it feels. Feel the thrill of its fingertip control. Feel the relaxing comfort of the Ford midship ride. Feel how those HydroCoil and TireFlex springs smooth the roughest roads. Feel the king-size magic action brakes that are 35% easier acting. This week, accept your Ford dealer's cordial invitation. Drive the new Ford and feel the difference. And remember, if you're interested in low-delivered price as well as economy of operation, Ford dealers can offer you the lowest-priced car in its field. Say, it must be Sunday night. Here comes Fred Allen driving up in his new Ford to keep his weekly date at the corner of Main Street. As Fred steps out of his Ford, he hears a voice say,
Portland, he wins.
Hey, I'm a little late again, Portland. Has time been hanging heavily on your hands?
No, I've been reading this book. It's called Verses.
Oh, Verses. That's Ogden Nash's new book of poems, isn't it?
And it's wonderful. The poems have crazy titles.
Oh, really? What are some of the titles?
Will you have your tedium, rare, or medium?
Oh, that's a poem.
A piccolo player.
Yeah, that's another poem.
How the rhinoceros got it tied.
Yeah. Who called that piccolo player a robin would have been a... Say, what is that? What is that? What is that poem you're reading there?
It's called The Guppy.
The Guppy? How does it go?
Whales have calves, cats have kittens, bears have cubs, bats have bitons, swans have cygnets, seals have puppies, but guppies just have little guppies.
I wish Ogden Nash was writing on the program here. Well, Portland, remind me to get that book on the way home. Portland, what's new?
Well, I read that three radio stations in New York canceled the Hooper survey.
Well, good. Good, I'm sure. It's not going to be long before there will be more people not paying any attention to the Hooper survey. Then Hooper says there are people not listening to this program. Won't take long. Won't be long now. That and television will do.
How do they make those surveys?
Well, nobody really knows. Those guys, those survey guys, you know, they can look in a cemetery, multiply it by an undertaker, and tell you how many people used to live in Hackensack.
On survey.
I only wish that Mr. Hooper owned a delicatessen. I would go in and untie all of the strings on the ends of his liverwort.
Are you getting excited?
Yes, I'm getting excited, and I think I'll get a paper.
Well, let's take a walk down Main Street.
All right, let's go. Well, this little column at the top here says, this is National Heart Week. Open your heart for the American Heart Association.
Oh, I have a slogan.
Really, a slogan?
Mm-hmm. This week, hearts are trumped.
Oh, that's good. I'll send that to Mr. Weaver. He's on the committee. Hey, look at this other story here. A professor says that an advertisement hypnotized him into joining a book club. What do you know? The professor signed a book coupon without reading it.
Do you think advertising makes people do things?
Well, I haven't time to read this piece now. There's only one way to find out hurriedly. Let's ask some people as we're walking along Main Street. This man coming by wearing the kite tail for a necktie. pardon me, sir.
Well, I say Claghorn's a name, son. Monsieur Claghorn, that is.
Monsieur?
Oui, merci beaucoup, nasty pass.
Senator, what are you doing speaking French?
Well, I had to welcome that French gratitude train. Me and Hildegard both made speeches.
I didn't know that you spoke French, Senator.
Well, and I speak French like a chateau. Où est caché l'air sous plume dans ma laminade garçouche?
Say, that's real fluent. Now, what does that mean?
Who put the trombone in my ginger ale?
Fine.
Son, you say that to a Frenchman, he'll just stand there and look at you.
Well, Senator, about our question, does advertising influence people?
You gotta advertise, son. A squeaky wheel gets all the grease.
But,
son, you gotta let people know you're in business.
Well, how do you mean?
When a hen lays an egg, the rooster crows his head off.
That's right.
When a peacock lays an egg, the peacock gets up off the nest and quietly sneaks away.
I see.
That's why everybody eats hen's eggs, and peacock eggs are a dime a dozen.
Well, do you think advertising lives up to its promises?
It sure does, son, and I can prove it. 50 years ago, a young boy saw an ad. How to be the life of the party. Learned to play the piano in 10 easy lessons.
And he learned to play the piano?
Yes, son. That boy was Harry Truman.
And thanks to the... thanks to that ad?
Today, Harry's the life of the party. The Democratic Party, that is. Come on.
Well, come on, Portland. What are you looking at?
The sign in the candy store.
What sign?
Norwegian Banana Split.
What is a Norwegian banana split?
In between the bananas, there's a sardine.
Oh, that's the... Say, you know, in Norway, they'll do anything with a sardine, I think. Say, look who's crossing the street.
Titus Moody.
Hi, Mr. Moody.
Howdy, Bob.
Say, is your arm in a sling?
I got my hand caught in the milking machine.
Oh. Your hand in the milking machine?
My fingers is 18 inches long.
Doesn't it bother you?
Only when I scratch myself.
Oh, your fingers are so long?
I scratch past the place that itches.
Well, Titus, do you think advertising influences people?
Why, some advertising can get you into a heap of trouble.
You had an experience?
Yes. Back in 1929, I see an ad in the Breeders' Gazette.
What was the ad?
It said, join the Book of the Day Club.
The Book of the Day Club?
Yeah, if you join the club, you'd get a book every day.
Yes.
And absolutely free, you'd get the complete works of Pussyfoot Johnson.
You joined the club?
I signed with the salesman 20 years ago.
Yes?
So far, I've paid in $2,000.
Yeah?
For 20 years, every day, a book's been coming.
Yeah, yeah.
The whole house and the backyard is full of books.
Yeah. Now, wait a minute. You paid $2,000, your house and your backyard are filled with books? What are you laughing about?
The joke's on that salesman.
Why?
I can't read. So long.
Let's get along, Borland.
Look at this card in the hardware store window.
What card?
It says, Bear Grease, 50 cents a can.
Well, what's so funny about bear grease?
Who would want to grease a bear?
Who knows? I've heard of a man being well oiled. It might be done by the same people.
Look who just turned the corner.
Oh, Mrs. Nussbaum. Say, you're wearing your evening gown.
I'm seeing a play.
Oh, really? What play?
Diamond Jill.
Diamond. With Mae West?
Is Mae West an actress?
You're asking me?
I'm telling you.
Oh, I see. They say Mae West is a raving beauty.
In Mae West's hands, men are seemingly putty.
I've heard that. I've heard that.
In Diamond Jill is enough putty, Mae West could fix him in the Empire State Building every window.
There's enough putty. Well, I take it that you like the show.
Oh, when Mae West is saying, what's on your mind, good-looking? Come up and simmer some fun. The audience is going wild with crazy.
Well, it sounds wonderful to me. Tell me, Mrs. Nussbaum, do you think people are influenced by advertising?
It's coming to mind one such person.
Oh, a friend?
Tinkerbell Tannenbaum.
What happened?
In a movie magazine, Hollywood Hassle.
Yeah.
Tinkerbell is seeing an ad, home permanent.
And she bought the equipment to give herself a permanent wave at home.
Tinkerbell is following instructions.
Yeah.
It is coming out like it is advertising.
Home permanent?
Ever since she is waving the hair, Tinkerbell Tannenbaum is home permanent.
You mean?
Tinkerbell is bald-headed.
to these characters, Portland, Main Street is starting to look like the snake pit.
You haven't found out much about advertising, have you?
No, I tell you what I'll do. I'll try one more specimen. This little man bouncing along, wearing the head of cabbage for a boutonniere. Hi, Buster.
He's not taking hands off me. I'll take your duty. Don't hand me.
Jack Cassidy.
Well, who do I look like, Ali Khan?
No, frankly, you look a little tired, eh, Jack?
Oh, sure, I was up all night celebrating.
Celebrating what?
Thomas Edison's birthday.
Really? Thomas Edison?
Sure, Thomas Edison invented the electric bulb.
Well, how did you celebrate?
How else? I got lit up.
Well, eh, Jack? Do you think people are influenced by advertising?
Sure, me boy. Advertising was the undoing of Pee-wee Muldoon.
It was, really?
Pee-wee could not resist an ad.
No?
He'd eat anything, wear anything, or smoke anything he seen advertised.
Advertising sort of hypnotized him, eh?
One time, Pee-wee seen an ad, learn Hindustan.
And he learned to speak Hindustan?
Oh, Pee-wee was wearing a bright green turban, smoking a water pipe. And he hired a Hindu to talk to.
Just to talk to, huh?
Another time, Pee-wee seen an ad, come to friendly Quebec.
Yes?
It was the middle of winter.
Yes.
Friendly Quebec was 40 below zero.
Yes?
Pee-wee froze 3 toes in his thermos bottle.
Pee-wee had no advertising resistance.
Oh, that was Pee-wee Muldoon's downfall.
How?
One day, he seen an ad, complete funeral, $50, flowers included.
And?
Pee-wee Muldoon dropped dead.
Well, all right, Portland, let's cross the street.
Wait a minute. The man in the music store is putting on a record.
Oh, a record?
It's Al Goodman and his orchestra and the Five DeMarco sisters.
Say, what is the song?
I've Got My Love to Keep Me Warm. Listen.
Wait here just a minute, Portland. Kenny Delmar's coming across the street. Hi, Kenny. Say, what's new?
What's new? Haven't you heard? The new Ford has just received the Fashion Academy Gold Medal Award as America's Fashion Car of the Year.
The Fashion Academy Gold Medal Award, you
say? For the past 20 years, the Fashion Academy has been selecting America's best-dressed women.
Oh, you mean the new Ford is America's best-dressed car?
Well, maybe I'd better read you part of the letter announcing the award.
Oh.
The Fashion Academy says, this choice was made on the basis of excellence in design and style appeal for women. Mindful of the new trends in fashion and the important part women play in choosing their family car, the 1949 Ford embodies all the essential qualities of good taste, modern design, and subtle harmony in line and color. It is indeed a compliment to the style-conscious woman who will recognize and appreciate the flattering background it provides for her best-dressed appearance.
Say, that's great, Kenny. You know, I think I'll stop in the Ford dealers now and congratulate
him. Oh, you won't find him in now, Fred. He's out shopping with his wife.
Oh, his wife is helping him get some new clothes?
No, he's helping her get some new clothes. Since the new Ford was picked as the fashion car of the year, she won't buy a thing without consulting him first. So long, Fred.
So long, Kenny. See you around. Hey, Portland, it's such a nice night. How about taking a walk uptown?
Oh, I have want to exchange this book for Mama.
What's wrong with the book?
There's a hole in the cover.
Oh.
Mama says it looks like a wormhole.
A wormhole? What's the name of the book?
The Big Fisherman.
Oh. His bait must have gotten away, I guess, and got out through the cover. Well, I'll see you later, Portland.
Good night.
Good night. Well, I guess I... Say, this man coming out of that lunch wagon looks just like Jack Eigen. I want
to see... Fred?
Dr. Rockwell. I thought I saw... Doc, I thought you were up in Maine practicing law.
Well, I had to give up my law practice temporarily, Fred.
Really? What happened?
Well, you know how it is in Maine in the winter.
Wild animals roaming the streets?
Yes, there's a bear hibernating in my office.
A bear in your office? Say, when you get your office back, it's going to be a little gamey in there.
No, Fred. This is a cinnamon bear.
Oh, a cinnamon bear.
Yeah, whether I had a grizzly in there, it was a little pungent.
Well, I guess there is. Tell me, what are you doing now?
I am on my way down to Washington to solve this tax problem.
How?
Simple, Fred. You take all that tax money and you build schools.
Building schools will solve the tax problem?
Yes. The more schools you build, the more people you educate. The more people you educate, the more money they make. The more money they make, the more money the government takes away from them for taxes.
In other words, if you go to school, you end up with no money.
That's right, Fred. Today, it pays to be ignorant.
Well, Doc, now that you've solved the tax problem...
I'm going to work on unemployment.
Unemployment?
Unemployment is right here now, Fred. You take up in Maine. A man starts digging a hole in the street.
Yeah.
In normal times, three men stop to watch him.
I see.
Last week, I saw a man digging a hole in the street. Four men stopped to watch him.
Four men.
Yes, sir, and that fourth man means unemployment.
What about the other three men?
Well, they were bums. The fourth man had a toothpick in his mouth. He just eaten.
Oh, I see. Well, gosh, Doc, the world is sure confused.
Well, don't worry about it, Fred. When the Marshall Plan runs out of other countries to take care of, it'll finally start taking care of us in this country.
Well, Doc, what about that Marshall Plan?
Well, they're sending too many different commodities overseas. One thing would do the trick.
One thing?
Yes, sir. Chewing gum.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Doc. How can chewing gum help European countries?
Well, it'll build up their dollar credit, kill communism, teach democracy and free enterprise.
How?
Well, first of all, chewing gum teaches a person to share.
Yes?
When you finish chewing your gum, what do? You stick it under a theater seat for somebody else. Now, that's democracy.
Democracy? Why, you get the gum on your coat, it smears all over your pants.
That's the very idea, Fred. In America today, 4 million dry cleaners and their families are being supported by chewing gum. That's what we call free enterprise.
But,
those 4 million dry cleaners support a lot of butchers, grocers, shoemakers, and booms business all the way down the line. That's America, Fred. Thanks to chewing gum, everybody sticks together.
Well, gosh, Doc, solving all the nation's problems, when do you have time to take care of your law practice?
Well, my small cases I turn over to Mr. District Attorney.
Oh, the little cases.
Big ones I handle myself.
Well, Doc, you know what? I'd like to see you trying one of those cases up there in Maine sometime.
Well, you got to know all the tricks, Fred. Now, just last week I had a case. As I walked into the courtroom...
Court. Quiet back there in the court. First case, the town of Possum Pond versus Harvey Tubbs. And the charge here says M-I-R. Murder. Charge says murder. Order in the court. Harvey Tubbs to the bar. Harvey, charge here says you're shot unto the death. One Dr. Gidney, M.D. Now, are you guilty or not guilty, Harvey?
Well, you're supposed to tell me, Judge.
Oh, say, that's right, ain't it? Last case I had, trying them communists mixed me up. They was telling me what to do in here. Some Professor Doxy with his maps had me going. Well, stand down, Harvey. Yeah. Call your first witness, Lawyer Rockwell.
Zeb Skinner to the bar.
Come in.
Now, Zeb.
Hold on. Hold on. Don't start talking till I get my hearing device turned on.
Rockwell, help Zeb turn on his hearing device.
Zeb, lift up your coat. Where's the wire?
You say I'm on fire. Put me out.
Now, hold on. Rockwell,
Ain't Zeb turned on yet?
He's turned on, Judge, but he isn't plugged in.
Well, plug him in. We got to get going with the trial.
All right. There. Now can you hear, Zeb?
You're coming in clear as a bell.
Hope no good humor man passes now. Okay. Proceed, Rockwell.
Now, Zeb, you're the owner of the Eagle Hotel.
Don't raise your voice, I be.
He's hearing you now.
And do you know the defendant, Harvey Tubbs?
Yeah, Harvey's been staying at my hotel since he caught the sleeping sickness.
I see, and what do you know about the murder?
Well, it was Saturday night. I'd just come out of the sink and was drying myself with the desk blotter. I heard somebody shaking the front door.
And who was it?
Sheriff Pruitt.
Well, Sam?
Oh, hold on. I blew a fuse.
Can't hear nothing. Unplug Zeb Rockwell. Look, if he can't hear nothing, he'll hold up the trial.
Come on, Zeb. You're all finished.
Who's eating spinach?
No, get
come on. Sit down, Zeb. Sparks are coming out of your windbreaker.
Get down. Rockwell. Follow your next witness, Lawyer Rockwell.
Sheriff Pruitt to the bar.
Make way for the law. Stand back, rubes. I'm boomeranging my billy.
He's doing it.
Sheriff, where were you when Dr. Gidney was murdered?
I was in Perkins' pool parlor.
Perkins' pool parlor?
Yeah, Perkins and me was having a game of eight balls.
I see.
Perkins only has eight balls. If you want to play anything else, you got to use apples. Your eyes are bad. Perkins will let you use cantaloupes.
Not too much detail, Sheriff. Now, what happened?
Well, I was just putting some chalk onto my billy when a bullet come flying through Perkins' front window.
A bullet, you say?
I could tell the bullet had come from the Eagle Hotel. I ran over and started looking for clues.
And what did you find?
When I come to Harvey Tubbs' room, Dr. Gidney was laying on the floor dead.
Yeah.
And Harvey was stretched out on the bed, sound asleep.
Sound asleep, you say?
If Harvey hadn't snored, Jed, we would have buried both of them.
Did you find anything suspicious in Harvey's room, Sheriff?
Well, I found a full cup of coffee and two guns on the table. Well, both guns was loaded, but neither gun had been fired.
Hey, that's mighty baffling, Sheriff. Now, what'd you do?
I pinned a note on Harvey saying, "Dear Harvey, when you wake up, you're under arrest. Signed, yours truly, Sheriff Pruitt." Then I went to break the news to Mona Snyder.
Hold on now. Mona Snyder?
Mona was Doc Gidney's nurse.
Oh, well, nice going, Sheriff. Stand down.
Okie beebe dokie, Jed.
Anything happened yet? I ain't plugged in.
Nothing's happened, Jed. Get away from the bench.
Go away, Zeb.
Oh,
well, hush your fuss now. Get him down there. Next witness, Rockwell.
Mona Snyder to the bar.
I got some molly grub, Jed.
You're in mourning, Mona. The defunct was something to you?
Dr. Gidney and me was fixing to elope.
Oh, and now the wedding's off?
You can't fry your fat when the fire's out, Jed.
No, Mona. The meeting's over when the tambourine's laid down, ain't it?
It would have been a perfect match, Jed. Doc Gidney was a doctor and I'm a nurse.
You was both in medicine?
And ready to socialize.
And?
Mona, when did you first meet Dr. Gidney?
Why, the day he come to treat Harvey Tubbs. I was Harvey's nurse.
What was wrong with Harvey, Mona?
Sleeping sickness, Jed.
Yeah.
Doc Gidney and me was treating Harvey together to keep him awake.
Yeah.
And what was the treatment, Mona?
Black coffee on the hour and noise, as prescribed.
Noise?
To wake Harvey up for breakfast, Dr. Gidney would shoot off two guns. Then he'd give Harvey a cup of black coffee.
Ah, that explains the two guns in Harvey's room. Now, Mona, how did you and Dr. Gidney happen to fall in love?
Well, when Harvey'd go to sleep, Dr. Gidney would fill his test tubes with water, and he'd play "I Love You Truly," hitting the test tubes with his scalpel.
And you decided to elope.
If Harvey hadn't shot...
Hold on, Mona. Don't say that word, shot. Now, it ain't been proved in court that Harvey shot Dr. Gidney. There's two loaded guns, but neither gun has been fired.
There's another gun, Jay.
Another gun?
Where is it, Mona?
Right here in my boodle bag.
Oh, she's got it.
When I went to get... when I went to get my first aid kit after murder,
yeah.
I found this .44 under Harvey's pillow.
And there's been a shot fired from it, Judge.
Well, now we're getting someplace, Rockwell. Stand down, Mona.
Okay, Jed.
I can't hear nothing. What time is the hanging? Plug me in.
Later, Jed. Go away there. Interfering with the trial. Harvey Tubbs to the bar.
Yeah, come in, Judge. I'm trying to stay awake.
Harvey, was this gun under your pillow the day of the murder? Why, Harvey's asleep, Judge.
It's that sleeping sickness, Rockwell. You got the gun there. Wake him up.
Okay, Judge.
Okay, Dr. Gidney, I'm awake. Where's my black coffee?
Harvey, Mona Snide says she found this gun under your pillow.
Oh, well, I reckon she did, Judge, but that gun ain't mine.
And whose gun is it?
Lawyer Rockwell.
Lawyer Rockwell?
Wait a minute, Judge. I can explain everything, Your
Honor. It looks mighty suspicious, Rockwell. You get to explain it.
I loaned that gun to Harvey. He wanted the gun to fire to keep himself awake when nobody was there.
What was you doing in Harvey's room?
Harvey called me to make out his will.
His will?
Harvey was in love with Mona, too, Judge. He wanted to leave her all his money.
His money, eh?
Harvey's loaded, Judge.
Yeah?
Before Harvey got the sleeping sickness, he was head accountant at the stockyards.
Stockyards?
That's where Harvey got the sleeping sickness.
Well, how?
It was income tax time. Yeah. Harvey had to take inventory. For 3 weeks, Harvey counted the cows and the steers.
Yeah?
Then he started counting the sheep. Every day for 4 weeks, Harvey did nothing but count sheep. One night, they found Harvey in the sheep run slumped over his adding machine. Sleeping sickness had set in.
And Harvey was through at the stockyards, eh?
Well, the company gives him a small pension, Judge, and all the lamb chops he can eat, but his life's ruined.
Well, what's all this got to do with Dr. Gidney's murder, Rockwell?
Dr. Gidney was afraid if Harvey could stay awake long enough, he'd propose to Mona.
Yeah?
So Dr. Gidney had to keep Harvey from staying awake.
You mean?
Dr. Gidney always woke Harvey up in the morning by firing 2 shots and giving him a cup of black coffee.
Yeah?
These 2 guns found in the room were still loaded, proving they weren't shot this morning.
True.
This cup of black coffee found at Harvey's bedside hasn't been touched.
Yeah?
There's your solution, Judge.
That cup of coffee?
It looks like coffee. It smells like coffee. It tastes like coffee.
But it ain't coffee?
No, Judge. It's Sanka.
Sanka?
Yes, sir. This cup of Sanka would give the average man a good night's sleep. But Harvey, with his sleeping sickness, wouldn't wake up for 2 weeks.
Jeepers.
Dr. Gidney knew with Harvey asleep, he could elope with Mona Snide.
And Harvey suspected something was rotten in Denver, eh?
Harvey took one sip of the coffee and knew Dr. Gidney was up to something. He reached for his gun, and as Dr. Gidney turned to leave, Harvey shot him through the stethoscope.
Well, I... shot him through both of them, eh? Well, I swallowed the sucker, I sure enough do.
Judge, I demand a writ of metamorphosis. This case should be dismissed. The court can't proceed.
What's going to stop the court from proceeding, Rockwell?
This cup of Sanka.
Sanka's right, Rockwell. If it ain't coffee, the court's got no grounds. Case dismissed.
Judge, I'm plugged in now. When's the trial going to start?
Got news for you, Zeb. Court's adjourned. Take him out. Before we put out the lights in the showroom, here's something every truck operator should know. When you invest in a new Ford truck, you get a truck that's bonus built, built extra strong to last longer. That's true of all the 139 models in the new Ford line, a line that includes the biggest trucks Ford has ever built. Get all the facts from your Ford dealer tomorrow. Next week, our guest will be Miss Gracie Fields. Thank you and good night.
Good night.
This is NBC, the national broadcasting company.